The following is brought to you in association with and as a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way is to head on over to iTunes and Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you do any shopping at Amazon, go over to ShiningWizards.com and click the Amazon banner. It's not going to cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you'd like to purchase one of our logo shirts, head on over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and pick one of our latest styles. Or head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards for our Shining Wizards network and tons of other designs. If you'd like to be our friend on Facebook, join us at Shining Wizards. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, do so at Wizards Podcast. And if you'd like to send us any kind of email, you can do so at WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. The Shining Wizards Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, at GeekLifeRadio.com, and of course, at ShiningWizards.com. From all of us at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy.
Hey, this is O'Heather with the Shining Wizards. I'll be there on the 14th. Come see us all. We're going to have a ball. We're going to roll. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a thrown-together edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about being redirected when on my way to Studio B to turn around in the middle of traffic to come to Studio A.
I'm Tony, and I was supposed to have the night off.
I'm Eddie, and I'm coming from work, and I made it on time.
And Eddie's the only one here at this point. We are expecting Matt and Kevin to be joining us any minute, but Kevin has an alcohol problem, and Matt's happy to oblige, so the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting is taking place down the road at the Lucky Seven, picking up a couple sixes of teas. We are going to be joined by the one and only Earl Hebner.
We are enablers.
And, dude, I'm telling you right now, he's going to know how much he paid for the plastic surgery. That guy made bank.
All right, you ask.
I'm planning on it.
I'm waiting for the crickets.
Yeah, I'm waiting for these idiots to get here because I'm in the middle of a homework session as well. But let's get into the big news that we sort of missed out on. Seth Rollins hurt his knee over in the Ireland.
Over in the Ireland with the fallen angels.
I was just going to say, I guarantee you they put a hex or a pox or a chicken bone on him or whatever they do
they
over there in Ireland.
Put a pox on him.
A pox on you.
A poxy moxy on you.
So Seth Rollins, hurty go bye-bye.
Hurty go bye-bye. Here's something funny, right?
Yes.
They bring it up that he hurt his knee in a match against Kane.
It's got to be Kane.
Okay. Uh-huh. However, Kane and The Undertaker were still supposed to be MIA.
Ooh, for... Oh, that's right. Because WWE.
Because WWE.
And The Undertaker just happened to be in Europe, too, but...
Yes, of course.
Whatever. And
they,
I don't know.
Ooh, they hot-shotted that shit.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to mean either, because now it's going to be The Undertakers against the Wyatts, but The Undertaker stood tall on Raw in a 4-on-2.
Beat them all up. They're all 20 years younger.
And I get it. I know why they did it. They wanted to pop the crowd in England. They wanted to make it this big thing. Because,
did they remember to unmute the crowd for that part? Because
I listened to Busted Open today for a bit, and Tommy Dreamer couldn't believe how quiet the crowd in England was.
Yeah.
Probably because Tommy Dreamer didn't realize how sweet or unsweetened the audio was.
Totally muted.
Speaking of unsweetened, Mr. Twisted Tea himself has arrived.
There he is. Reroute number 2 has arrived. It's like an indie show. People showing up late. Just walking in.
Well, it's not like we have 15 matches booked tonight or anything. We're only going to be talking to Earl Hebner in a few.
I am actually...
What? No, dude, you're lucky the studio is set up, let alone your mic.
I'm interested to talk to Earl Hebner. It's cool to get a referee's perspective every now and then. I know we had a indie sensation referee.
Oh, Hanson?
Hanson in studio. We learned a lot from him.
Well, we also talked to Billy Silverman.
Yeah, we talked to Billy Silverman.
Well, I didn't talk to Billy Silverman.
I didn't either. Who did?
Hootie, hootie, hoo. I bet you it was Matt.
The No Limit Soldiers talked to Billy Silverman.
Yep.
But yeah, Earl, man, he's been around for everything.
I think Kevin fell in the can. I heard a scream. You all right in there, dude? Oh.
He was laughing at the No Limit Soldiers.
He liked
reference.
Your reference. Yes. Sorry, who cares? He's off mic, whatever.
All right, so what do you guys want to talk about? We got 27 minutes.
I have nothing else to talk about, dude.
Let's talk about the tournament. Did you see the brackets?
All right, fine, tournament. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the guys, it's cool that they're in there, but the glaring omissions are no John Cena. Orton's not in there either, right?
No, he's hurt.
And Lesnar, of course. I mean, you can't put Lesnar in there because Lesnar would just run ruckshot all over everything.
You look at these brackets and you really see how thin the roster is. They had to split tag teams.
It's not that the roster's thin. It's that they haven't built anyone up. There's a lot of talent in there. Quite a few. Like, there's a few guys, too, that people are behind, like Cesaro, like Owens.
Yeah.
But these guys are not built up.
At all.
And that's the problem.
No, I look at this tournament, and I'm like, wow. Roman Reigns stands out. And it's like, God, why don't they just hand him the title already?
Yeah. See, that's another thing, too. Like, I get why they want to do a tournament. They want to drum up interest for Survivor Series. But why couldn't Sheamus just come, you know, send Sheamus out from the back and, you know, just flippy-doo, dumparoo, and beat Rollins? Or just say, hey, I have this. I want the belt.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't make any sense. And you put Sheamus in the tournament, you put Owens in the tournament, and you put, who's the IC, who's the U.S. champ?
Oh, Del Rio.
Del Rio. You put Del Rio in the tournament. None of those guys are going to win it.
Now, has Del Rio won? Has Del Rio won so far?
Well, we could spoil everything if you want. I mean, I don't know who actually watches SmackDown, but...
All right, so if you have any intention of watching SmackDown, you're really following this, I'd fast forward a couple of minutes.
Yeah. The thing is, you look at these brackets, and you just know. You just know the finish, and you know where they're going with it.
Yeah,
and the thing that's sad is, it's a really fucking talented roster of people in this tournament, and it just goes to show you how stupid WWE is to have booked these guys so badly where none of these guys mean anything.
Yeah.
At all.
It's
none of them
sad.
Mean anything. It's crazy. Wow. Unbelievable. This is the best roster they've had probably since the Attitude Era, and none of these guys mean a damn thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'll go over some first round stuff if you want, because that was basically all what Raw was. Roman Reigns and Big Show, which was 20 minutes. It was like 20 minutes of awful.
Sorry, I never hit the button on time, so I figured I'm going to just start hitting it. Who cares if it's late?
And they were in England, and the crowd didn't care at all. Actually, they muted the crowd's boring chants, and they booed the hell out of Roman Reigns, and they just basically turned off the mics on the crowd. You couldn't hear anything. So obviously, Roman's over, Big Show.
Do you think... yeah, keep going. I'm sorry.
Cesaro beat Sheamus, because if you're the Money in the Bank guy, obviously you're a jobber until you cash in, which is backwards booking, because you're supposed to build the guy who could potentially be champion.
Well, it's also weird, too, because Cesaro never wins.
Right. So that just goes to show you that Sheamus losing the first round, he's going to cash in.
And I know Kevin is upset because The Miz also was eliminated in the first round.
Yeah.
Oh. Kevin's mic is also not on.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
Jesus Christ. You fucking got me all over Jersey, driving all over the place.
I was in eight towns.
Come in here. My mic's not set up. Got no mic on.
Pants are off around your ankles.
My pants are off because it's ass hot in here.
So I got my sweater vest on. I'm hot.
The Miz lost.
Hey,
the Miz lost.
Come on.
But he lost to Ziggler, so that's
so
okay.
That's all right.
That's totally fine. Del Rio over Stardust. I don't know if that's a spoiler. Okay, sorry. Here's a weird one. Here's a weird one.
Ryback Kalisto?
Kalisto over Ryback.
Over Ryback.
Why?
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Half of the Lucha Dragons over Ryback.
Maybe they got plans for Kalisto.
They have no plans for
Kalisto.
They need a
Mysterio. They need a new Mysterio.
They have no plans for Kalisto at all. Calypso.
Calypso music.
Kalisto was awesome in PWS, though. He's... Man, if they showcase him, but you know they're not. You know they're not.
Never know. Awesome? I mean, they like a mask guy.
Look where it's leading to. Roman's going to go over Cesaro, and then Kalisto.
He's going to beat Roman Reigns.
No, it's Del Rio Kalisto next.
Rio Kalisto?
Sounds like a bad hotel in Seaside.
You think they'd have the nerve to put Kalisto up against Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns.
You think?
They're not going to, no.
You don't think they would give Reigns?
No, they anything put, no. of note comes out of this? Anything that we're not expecting? I'm not just talking about like a winning around. I'm not talking about Cesaro just beating Sheamus.
Ambrose heel turn.
Yeah, Ambrose is going to join the fraternity or whatever.
I feel like
call
that's just so.
No, you know why? Because a lot of the goody-goodies aren't going to expect it. Here's the problem. They sowed the seeds for Reigns to do that, which means
Roman
he's not going to do it.
He's Roman's not doing it.
No, definitely
I don't
not.
Think Roman is doing it,
because
but
Roman,
I also don't think Ambrose is doing
Roman
it.
Roman is Cena also, or Cena yes. too. You like that?
He
so
is.
He's not going to turn heel. He's
Hi,
not
Matt.
Going to.
You might want to turn your mic on. I don't... You just killed Lance Storm and Jerry Lynn.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We lost the monitors.
Oh, Jesus.
This is...
Why couldn't you knock the Fallen Angels or Chris Payne off the wall?
The Jewisaurus is smiling even wider now.
Look at that
smile.
Do you need help?
He's got all that room now.
You have to adjust your arm.
I know.
What the Jewisaurus put on his Starbucks cup?
Jew.
That's the new fun thing to do. Go to Starbucks and just have them, you know, Merry Christmas is my name. Jew is my name. Nazis. We are Nazis
Calypso.
Is my name. Kalisto Del Rio, the new hotel in Seaside where all the skanks go on prom and lose their virginities.
Virginities.
Hey, you go to Wildwood, don't you?
Every year.
There's like no old school hotels left.
There's like
right?
four or five left.
Any good ones, or like, or do they look like they're on their way out too?
Now, where do you,
they're
do you
all
stay
the
in
same.
The Crest, or do you stay in North, or what is Wildwood?
I stay in the Crest.
The Crest.
Yeah, the Crest
I stay
is the, always a way to
the
go.
The Port Royal is awesome.
Port Royal's great. There was one called the Royal Hawaiian that was
awesome. Has the UFO on top.
Yeah,
great.
That place was great because that's the hotel that I wanted to stay at when we stayed at the Singapore.
I stayed at the Singapore this year.
Did you really?
Yes.
I've stayed at the Singapore.
It was disgusting this
year. Yeah, those people are pretty
gross.
Dude,
I'll tell you what. They did a great job with the brochure, though, because it looked amazing on the brochure.
I was like, I'm going to freaking China.
Yeah. The Royal Hawaiian is good. There was the Yankee Clipper is a good one.
Yeah.
Or the Rusty Clipper, the Yankee Clipper.
When I went to the Royal Hawaiian for coffee one morning this year, and like, there's a mom who runs it and her kids work for it. And I walked in right in the middle of this huge family fight.
Really?
Yeah, it was so awkward. She's like, "You didn't fill up the decaf again, Daniel. You think you could sit on your ass all summer and just come here whenever you please, but you got to do your job and earn your keep."
So it's just like a big family that runs the Royal. Are they Hawaiian?
Oh, yeah, of course. And they have crowns on because they're royal.
They're not from Cranford or something like that? Or from Rahway?
They live in that hotel. They live in the Royal Hawaiian.
Dude, I've never been in there. I was too scared to go in.
It's nice. It's not full of Hawaiians.
The pool is real nice, and the mini golf course is real nice.
The Waikiki is a good spot, too.
Do you guys want to throw Tony under the bus during our Earl Hebner interview?
Yeah.
Okay,
you guys pontificate for a little while. I got to put something together really fast.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. All right, so I'm talking about Raw. I fast-forwarded most of it because I just wasn't interested at all in anything. For some reason, with me, these days, maybe it'll change, but I don't care how great the match potential is. If there's no story or any reason for me to be invested, I care less.
I kind of agree with you because I find myself more and more, like, I don't have, like, DVR, but, like, say, like, even, like, this is what's sad. Even, like, going back a little bit, like, to watching this stuff on the network, I'll always find myself, like, fast-forwarding through, like, some, like, the matches and just watching to see what they do after or what they do before or who cuts a promo after.
Yeah.
And like, or before, or the little side, little window and picture-in-picture. I kind of cared more about that than the actual, like, in-ring stuff, which I hate that I'm saying.
It's weird.
But it's bizarre how that works. But I've been watching a lot of Nitro lately, so that's actually been keeping me entertained.
Nitro is awesome.
Yeah.
Even bad Nitro is awesome.
Yes.
But I'm looking at these brackets. It's a bunch of just mid-card dudes. I mean, there's potential for awesome stuff to happen. They have potential to build an amazing heel and to really put over an underdog at this point, and you know they're not going to.
How many weeks away are we from this tournament? Is it two
48 weeks 48. until the end of the Survivor Series, whenever Survivor Series
is. So it's really only like two.
Who will survive? Yeah.
I watched 89. That's my favorite one the other day.
There was a great run between like 88 and 92 of Survivor Series where they were just all. Even 93 was pretty good.
Yeah, 93 wasn't bad.
I love all those Survivor Series. Who was the winning Survivors? Wasn't it like Marty Jannetty and 123 Kid? They beat like Adam Bomb. Yeah. And yeah, it was awesome. What a great Survivor Series.
I'll take the team right because I'm a Survivor Series whore. It was Razor Ramon. It was Macho Man who was supposed to be Mr. Perfect, but Mr. Perfect either got hurt or left. So it was Razor, Macho, Jannetty, Kid. And
Adam Bomb,
Martel, Diesel, and
Jeff Jarrett, right?
No. We might be thinking of the wrong one.
Maybe. I don't know. But it was a good match.
Yeah.
123 Kid and Marty Jannetty survived, and it was friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. All right, so back to the tournament. My prediction, Roman Reigns wins over Ambrose. Ambrose turns heel, kicks the shit out of Roman Reigns. Sheamus cashes in, takes the title.
So then, all right, so we have, this makes me mad where I'm going to go with this. All right, so now we have a Roman Reigns-Ambrose feud to last us until when?
I don't know, so you throw in Sheamus there? This is like...
This is what you have to see when is John Cena coming back?
And if you think WWE, I also think maybe they don't turn Ambrose heel, but we get stuck with a Roman Reigns-Sheamus feud. And I really see that happening.
I could see that happening. I could see either one of those things
disgusting.
Happening.
It's disgusting. I would... Oh, imagine
part of, part of me would rather see that than turn Ambrose heel because I love Ambrose as a babyface.
But he needs direction.
Yeah.
As a babyface, they're just wasting him. Like, oh, there's a guy that wasn't supposed to get over that's over.
Maybe you have him win.
Ambrose?
Ambrose win. Maybe Reigns. I don't see them doing the Reigns
Roman
turn either.
Reigns. No, they're not going to turn. He's their Cena. Yeah. Tony said so. They're not going to turn him.
I don't know. I'm excited about it. A little bit, even though, because part of me, I always do this every single time. I give them too much credit.
Yeah, stop.
I know. It's like, oh, maybe this is the time they're gonna pull the trigger and Kevin Owens is gonna win or Cesaro is gonna win.
Yeah,
or Dean Ambrose is gonna win.
Yeah, right. No.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I hate it. I hate knowing what's gonna happen. It sucks.
What else did you guys talk about while we were en route?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just getting here.
Yeah.
We talked about getting here.
What happened? Why are we here?
We,
Roman Reigns.
That over there.
That box of awesome. Wow, that's a really great soundboard.
It's a brand new soundboard.
Okay.
Fuck.
That I went out and purchased.
Wow. Where'd you get it? Radio Shack?
Guitar Center.
Oh, so it's real deal.
Yeah.
Is it a biggie, like the one we got here?
It's a, a Merrick? A Mastic? I don't know. It's on the front. The name's on the front.
A Mastic? Is that a dog?
Yes.
I got it. I got it home.
That's a Mastiff, but okay.
I just couldn't figure it out how to get the levels right and all this other shit.
Yeah.
And the weather wasn't good, and everyone was having problems getting to where we needed to be. And Tony was like, you know, what needs to be done? How can I help? And I'm like, bro, there's no helping me right now. Like,
if
it's in one piece, I'm shocked.
So wait, if we didn't have this soundboard, we weren't going to be able to do a show?
Well, Eddie has...
I have mine in the trunk. I have our small one.
All right.
Yeah. I hate that one, though. I think it makes our shows from Studio B sound like shit.
Okay. Can. You know what, though? I fixed the levels on that. I found this YouTube video which shows you like how to set the levels. I've been using it for PWS commentary lately. It sounds like this now, yeah.
Good. Dude, I'm just like in my car, and I never text while I'm driving unless I'm in absolute standstill traffic.
Yeah.
And thank God, like, not thank God.
How can you text if your beer is in your hand?
I mean, seriously.
I totally get it.
And you have to keep one hand on the wheel.
Maybe. Sometimes.
Yeah. But dude, like, I got that message. I'm like, I didn't see any backstory. All I saw was...
Backstory. Everything's a wrestling angle. Yeah. Tony booked this angle terribly,
yeah,
by the
way. Yeah, much like Vince McMahon, I didn't see the story develop in how we ended up in Studio A. But all I knew was that I ended up getting off this exit on 78 to get me through Newark. So
love Newark.
Yeah, but no, it was fine. I don't think I would have even made Freddie Blassie if we were Studio Freddie Blassie. Earl
Hebner. What? We're having Freddie Blassie on tonight.
All
this
right.
is awesome.
We got. I just got off the phone with Freddie Blassie, and
were you using that Poltergeist ghost phone?
Yeah, I was.
Carlin,
Freddie, you there,
Mommy? Can you hear me, Mommy?
Oh, So how was Raw? Did you guys talk about this?
Yeah, we're going through it now.
It was boring as fuck.
I went to see the Martian movie last night.
What's the Martian movie?
The Martian.
Is that a Bugs Bunny movie?
No, with Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Oh, I want to see that. How is that?
It was good.
Yeah?
It was real good.
I love Matt Damon in space.
I saw it in I saw it in 3D. It's worth the extra couple ducats to wear those goofy glasses.
Oh, cool. I got to go see that movie. I forgot that was out. That's awesome. Wow. Raw was... It was kind of boring.
Well, why don't we move into something that you actually were very vocal about, unless you already
the finish?
The finish of
bullshit.
The Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah, they blew that. First of all, there's no explanation as to what the Wyatts did to them at all. They could have had some kind of a story with that.
They never got to that?
No. No, the Undertaker and Kane just come out and interrupt a promo, and they beat up all four of them. And stand tall to end Raw. Now, are they having a match at Survivor Series? Was that announced?
I don't know if it was announced or not, but I mean, I can't imagine they're not.
Why
now.
Would they now?
Because,
but
I
what's the point?
The only thing I can say to that is that there are still 2 weeks or two or three Raws left, how many ever that there are, so it's possible that the Wyatts could do something devastating to them. Maybe they could bring back Paul Bearer. We can get him with Freddie Blassie.
You know what I would have done to finish Raw? Have Taker and Kane come out, they get in the ring, then they both get on their knees and they lift their hands to the Wyatt family. And they kind of like leave a cliffhanger like, oh, fuck. But then the Taker and Kane could be playing mind games with them and then turn on them.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that we didn't get something gay. Like, I thought Rowan and Harper were going to come out as Taker and Kane.
I thought you loved the gay stuff, Kevin.
I thought that we were going to get...
In real life, not wrestling.
In, you know, fuck you, motherfuckers.
Look at that curveball. We just threw them all off.
No, but you know how
speaking
they do
of
that?
Curves.
They switched it up and they was trying to like throw some goofy out there like that.
No, they just came out.
Well,
and...
I wasn't expecting them to even be there. I didn't read anything.
You know, the funny thing is, like, they were there. You know, the internet geeks, I'm sure, knew. And it was spoiled for whoever, but Raw got shitty ratings. It dropped in hour three.
And you know what? And that Monday Night Football game was the shits, too. So they can't, it's like the worst teams.
You can no longer blame Monday Night Football. Because when wrestling was hot, Monday Night Football didn't affect it at all.
No, but I'm saying that...
They can't blame it.
No, I think they can.
No. It's still shitty.
I think Supergirl has been running pretty hot against...
I love Supergirl.
There you go.
Ah, Supergirl's awesome.
She's pretty cute, too.
She is cute. She's not as hot as the Supergirl they had on Smallville, but she's...
Wait, doesn't Calista Flockhart play Supergirl?
No, she plays...
She plays Anorexic Woman.
Anorexic Woman.
I couldn't think of anything worse.
Anorexia. She
That's
plays
a good one,
Anorexia.
Anorexia.
Anorexia. Her secret identity is Bulimia, or Bellaemia.
Who was the guy that hit Wade Barrett?
I don't know.
Is he like a soccer player?
Baza would know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are we live?
I saw people.
No, of course not.
I don't know.
I saw people complaining about celebrities getting involved in wrestling matches.
Enough. It's okay, people.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Awful. It's so
I don't even know who this guy is that did it.
Daniel Lopez.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, you mean the guy that hit him?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Manchester United team captain. So Manchester United's arguably the most popular soccer team or football team.
Yeah, so
in
people
the world.
That are good with their feet can throw really great punches.
Yeah.
Dude, he like bitch slapped him and even like hit him. He paintbrushed him.
He bumped on it.
Yeah.
Did the crowd go mild when this happened, or did they edit that out?
The crowd was mild all evening.
Oh, brother.
All evening. So that's Raw in a nutshell. Anyone paying attention to TNA? What's going on in
What's
TNA world?
TNA?
You know there's no champions anywhere. AAA, they
Listen,
lost their champion. TNA doesn't have a champion.
WWE they copied Joseph Park, and now they copied the World Title Series thing.
The World Title Series is the most fucking complicated thing ever.
Why are they doing... See, how many rounds are they going to do...
42.
On TV, and how many are they going to have actually on the pay-per-view?
I would imagine that the round of eight is going to be on the pay-per-view.
No.
You think it'll just be the final four?
Final four.
They got really gay with that with the King of the Ring, too.
Yeah, they did.
Boo.
Yeah, really bad.
Oh, Kevin's right. That's terrible.
Yeah, really bad.
Dude, I was pumped when we were talking about, like, oh, it's going to be like another, it's a full night of tournament, like WrestleMania 4, like
yeah,
Deadly
like,
Game. Like
eight matches would
like
have been
the original
awesome
King of the Ring.
Matches,
yep.
Yeah.
That would have been great, but no.
Because I would have, if we weren't going to get traditional Survivor Series matches, I would have been okay with the tournament.
Which we are kind of, because the Undertaker match, and we were with the 5-on-5, which is gone.
What 5-on-5?
It was supposed to be Reigns against Rollins teams, wasn't it?
I don't know.
No, I think it was supposed to be just Reigns versus Rollins.
Yeah, it was for the title.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Then I thought there was another. Wasn't there another 5-on-5 there?
There's going to be a Divas probably,
they
but
never,
that's every week.
Oh, great. It's
they never
like,
announced the 5. All the Survivor Series 5-on-5 matches were on Raw.
It's going to be 5-on-5-on-5 for
SmackDown.
The Divas.
The Divas will be like, ugh.
Although
that's
I am intrigued that that Medusa is kind of getting into a little tete-a-tete with Paige.
Oh, she's self-promoting.
Yeah, but you know what? If that leads to something, that would be awesome.
No.
Dude,
no.
Here
did you
it is.
See Medusa wrestle the last couple years in WCW before she left?
Yeah, but she really had nobody to work with.
Oh, she was terrible.
Here's the
still.
Thing. You revisit Halloween Havoc 95 20 years ago because Medusa drives monster trucks. You have them do monster trucks on the roof of the old Meadowlands Arena. What? This is where they could just drive off and nobody cares because nobody's in it. And then you could have them wrestle at the Barclays Center.
Yeah.
Winner, winner.
That wins.
If you were gonna,
great booking.
If you were going to revitalize the Meadowlands, that would be a
well, if you got to tear it down anyway. Oh, they could drive off that ramp on the mall next door.
Xanadu?
You know, the big, yeah, the big ramp part that's supposed to be like that skiing ramp.
No.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
Come to Xanadu where you can ski down one hill.
Xanadu! We're never going to open all if right. we wanted to.
Oh, I know. I got it.
Xanadu! Never gonna be finished what you do.
I told you that they renamed it the American Dream, right?
Well.
Yeah. it's the American Dream Show.
Sorry, we don't have a cowbell.
Oh,
oh
my
shit.
God. Wrestling sucks.
And talk about wrestling.
I can't wait to talk to Earl Hebner. Is it 7:30?
Yeah, well, speaking of which, we
Six
should...
6 minutes!
Yeah, we should take our break now
yes.
so I can get everything set up.
Oh, good.
Don't you dare go away. When we get back... Mr. Earl Hebner.
Cool.
On the line.
Every Friday, the 80s and 90s are back on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio, The Jury transports you back to the days of Walkmans, VHS, arcades, and malls. Covering the best in pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror, from reviews to interviews and everything in between, we want you to get on board every Friday and travel back to the last old school generation. The Midnight Jury is a production of WLWstudios.com and a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hi, this is Justin.
And Tim.
And Vince.
And we are your hosts of the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, bringing you the best in entertainment news and opinions. We cover the worlds of movies, TV, music, sports, video games, comic books, and of course, professional wrestling, as well as pop culture top 10 lists and fan castings. New episodes every Sunday. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we are joined by the senior official of all professional wrestling. Some might refer to him as Dave Hebner's evil twin brother, but I refer to him as one of the best referees in the business, if not the best. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Earl Hebner. How you doing tonight, Earl?
Doing great, man. How about you?
We're doing good, man. We're really excited to talk to you. We know you have an event coming up here in New Jersey. Before we get to that, I'd just like to talk a little bit about your history and your career. We're very interested in actually, how did you get started? Was wrestling something you always wanted to do? Did you want to ref? Did you want to wrestle? What was the deal?
Well, not really. I was working for a concessionaire in where we had wrestling in Richmond at the fairgrounds many years ago. And I was just a ring guy, putting a ring up, and all of a sudden, down the road, Angelo Martinelli, years ago, had a heart attack and passed away on the way to Richmond. So I was asked to referee, and I said, I don't know nothing about refereeing, and they said, well, just listen to the guys. So I did it, and at the time after that, Dusty Rhodes took over, and I guess he liked Well, he loved the way I handled things, so he hired me as a referee, and that's how I got started.
Wow, so you went into it kind of blind, refereeing your first match. Were you even smartened up to the business at this point, or did you just go in and know you had to count three?
Not really. Not smart at all.
Man, wow. So was it Dusty Rhodes that was the one that actually smartened you up, or did you just learn as you went?
I learned as I went, but I had a good coach named Tommy Young. He coached me, and... because he was one of the best there was ever, I thought. and he's the one that taught me and tutored me and got me through it and made me who I am today.
Wow. Now, is he the same? He worked with your brother as well. You guys just kind of like joined on board at the same time?
Right, right.
Incredible. Now, that's a hard time to break into the business. What was this, like the early 80s or late 70s were you doing this?
Probably the late 70s.
Okay, it's a little easier now to break into the business as it was then. So you're working concessions, you and your brother become referees, and you're surrounded by incredible talent. How did the talent take to you? Were you accepted right away? Did you have to take time to earn their trust?
No, I had to take time to earn their trust because I didn't know what I was doing, and they knew it. But they helped me. I mean, it was back then. It was a different ball game from today's picture of the business, you know.
Right, right, right. Definitely. And plus, different territories. You always had to pretty much work with new people on the regular. You spend some time with Crockett Promotions, then you jump on over in the middle of one of the hottest angles ever in the WWF at the time, and no one even knew when you were refereeing that match that you were not Dave. Everyone thought that you were Dave, and the one of the best swerves. As a child, I remember watching it on television. How nervous were you leading up to that, and did you think people were actually going to buy into that you were Dave Hebner?
Yes, I knew that because we were twins, and that's how it all worked out. They needed a imposter or somebody that really looked like Dave, and it worked in my favor, and it was a break for me at the right time, and it was the most kayfabe deal ever that I've seen in this business.
Yeah, now no one basically, even in the business backstage, knew. It was just basically the guys involved?
There were only three people in. Let's see, it was me, Vince, Pat Patterson, and Hogan, and Andre, and DiBiase.
Wow. You don't see that these days.
And Virgil.
Okay.
Of course, Virgil knows everything.
Yeah. You don't know where he's at right now.
that just brought up a spark of a question in my head. I mean, you were probably the most like famous. There obviously have been other like evil referees in the past. You know, Danny Davis did his thing. What do you think it is about the wrestling business that always keeps going back at some point to the evil referee thing? And do you think it still has a place? And do you think it still works today?
Oh yeah. But see, you got to realize this. This is something that happened that nobody ever knew, except people I've just named.
Yeah.
And when it happened, it stunned the world.
It stunned me, and it stunned a lot of people. It was definitely the first time anything like that ever, you know, was done on live TV and in professional wrestling. And then you kind of just basically transitioned into that spot. I know. Your brother was injured by a kick to the ribs and was out of commission for a little while. Is that a true story?
You know what? I can't think back that far, but the first night of that Hulk Hogan deal with my brother and I, they were supposed to have caught me and they missed me. And I hit the concrete floor and I spun in my rotor cuff.
Oof.
And it was the first night there, and then I was out 8 weeks getting that repaired.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah. People don't realize that, you know, refs are often the casualties of the game, right?
Well, I think every bone in my body's been broken. I've had 9 operations on my knees. I've had both rotor cuffs on my shoulders replaced. I've had broken hand, splintered elbows, stitches in my forehead, stitches in the top of my head. Good. One eye don't dilate anymore because of DiBiase throwing the briefcase and hit me in the back of the head, knocking me out. I'm just a broken up referee.
Yeah, but you know what? You show no signs of it. I mean, you're still doing the thing like you always have. Was that your worst injury? Was that first night, or do you have a story behind maybe an even worse injury that you've suffered?
Well, the two rotor cups with Hogan and Triple H, somehow or another. He hit me in the shoulder with a steel hammer, and it just tore that all to pieces. That was the worst one. Hogan's wasn't as bad as the one with Triple H did. So I went to Birmingham, and Dr. Andrews operated on me, and he said, oh, it's a piece of cake. You'll be out in 2 days. Well, I spent a week down there because of the operation of the crushed bones and the bleeding that wouldn't stop at the time. So So I worked out there in their therapy for about a week before I ever got on the plane.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, what you do is not easy, and you have definitely taken your fair share of some awesome bumps, especially when you see these big hulking guys just tower into you and just collide. Oh my God, half the time you look like you were dead. Which brings me to my next question. There's a lot of guys breaking into the business now. What advice would you have for young men or women trying to be referees, and what do you think separates a good referee from a bad referee?
Well, a good referee has to go, when you get TV, he has to go to the ring, and whatever he's assigned to do, he's got to put 100% into it. You know, it's not just a 1, 2, 3. It's a lot going on in there, and when people get hurt, you got to know what's going on. When somebody misses a spot, they'll ask you to call it to them, and that's what made, I guess that's what made me the guy I am. It was just more things to do than 1, 2, 3.
Right, right. You're extremely animated and, you know, big movements, and that's definitely what makes you one of the best. Another quick question I have that I've always wondered about, I know when you started in the business, they didn't have the earpieces, and then I guess sometime like maybe the early to mid-90s, they started giving you the earpieces to get cues from production. Was that hard to get used to and a little bit distracting, or was that more of a help?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, that was my idea.
Really?
Whoa.
Wow.
I came up with that idea that we need to, because the timekeeper would sit there and sometimes he'd doze off, sometimes he'd watch the matches, he'd get concerned what's going on, and he never get the right cues. And then when we went to live TV, there's no room for error on that. It is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once it's over, it's over. You can't go back and edit the tapes. It is what it is. So if it's there, it's there. If it's not, then you screwed up. So then I come up with the idea, why can't we have a box like the announcers have to cue them, to cue us?
That's genius. Wow. Learned something here tonight. And now, of course, basically every major promotion, WCW used it. TNA now uses it. So, wow, that's pretty awesome. But talking about room for error, has there ever been a moment in a match where maybe you might have made a mistake and it was live TV and you didn't, you know, it was hard to correct? Do you have anything at the top of your head where you just had like an oh shit moment?
Yeah, screwed. It was a miscommunication between me and Rock and Austin. And I think it was LA at WrestleMania.
Ooh.
Something was changed and nobody told me. And I'm not going to say it's all my fault, but it was changed and I went, what the hell, you know, is going on here? And then we went through the moves, more spots, and then we went to the finish again. So that's probably the most embarrassing one that I've ever screwed up.
Wow, was it a three count that was supposed to be a three or a kick out? Like what exactly was?
It's been a kick out, and then you go back and Austin gets a spot, then Rock gets his finish.
Oh, okay. And this, like, no one cleared this with you, so you had
no.
Oh man, that sucks. Well, I definitely don't blame you for that one.
What is the one thing that you would like people that don't necessarily know a whole lot about, like, I mean, a lot of the smart fans know what you're responsible for and what you're not responsible for. Is there anything that even the smartest of smart fans does not know that a referee is responsible for?
Well, once you know a guy's hurt and he's lost, like the us, I mean, like Angle and Triple H, They had a match, and Triple H pedigreed to the table, knocking him completely out. He didn't know where he was. I called his spots. Then when I went to count to three, I seen that he wasn't going to kick out, so I slid my left hand on his shoulder and raised it up. But that's experience, and that's what's know what's going on. I don't expect any young referee to know what I know.
Right.
But you have to train your referees. And we got a referee working for TNA named Brian Stifler. And Brian Hebner and I myself has trained him to where he's really getting good. You know, he's still got a lot to learn, but he's getting good. I'm happy with his situation. I'm happy with his progress. And he's done a great job.
Now, Earl, you've been around for a long time.
100 years.
100 years.
Well, you look good. You look good for a 100-year-old man who was just recently inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame. You've refereed some of the biggest matches ever, and my two favorite matches that you've ever refereed: WrestleMania 6, Hogan and the Warrior. That picture of you standing between those two monsters is one of my favorite. And then Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 12, when it's Jose Lothario and Shawn, and you with the belt, and then Bret. Oh, God, it gives me chills.
Gorilla Monsoon's in that picture, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you
right.
have a favorite match that you refereed?
God, I've had so many. Believe me, I had so many great matches with great guys. It's hard to say. You know what I'm saying?
But, yeah. I mean,
like Hogan and Warrior, that was a great match, and I still feel the clothesline from the Warrior when he gave it to me. I mean, he hit me so hard that when I went down, felt like my head was full of cement. I could not move for a while.
Oh, God.
And then, let's see. I'm trying to think now. Well, definitely the Andre and Hogan was a great match. But, you know, I've just had so many great matches in my life that it's hard to pinpoint the number one match. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So many awesome memories combined.
Did you have a favorite wrestler that you like to work with?
Ric Flair.
Woo!
And Stone Cold, The Rock, Triple H. I mean, all those guys were just so great to work with. And, you know, over the years, when you watch them work, you learn. You know where they're going and what they're going to do. Like, Rick doesn't have to tell me a thing.
Right.
Rick has been one of my greatest owls in this business. He's the one that really, when I first broke into the business working for Jim Crockett Promotions, he's the one. We were in St. Louis, and him and Ricky Morton had a 2 out of 3 falls, and I screwed the first matchup on the champion now, on the champion. Mm. And I go, Rick, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And you know what he said? Don't worry about it, kid, just listen to me.
Wow.
And he coached me right through it. You know, and that was the first match of my life that I can ever think that I had with Ric Flair. He had unscrewed the matchup. But that was not because I didn't have the experience back then as I have in my becoming years, you know, my own years, you know?
Right, right. Now, has the style of refereeing, you think, changed from when you started to now? Did the WWE or even in TNA, you know, give you any kind of specific instructions of things not to do anymore or things to do more of? How has it evolved?
Well, I'm sort of an oddball. I sort of do things that I shouldn't do. And where most referees go by what's told to them, okay? Sometimes I'll just do stupid shit out of the blue that, and then I'll get blistered when I get back. But that's okay. It was a good show. It was entertaining. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Right. No. You can't micromanage and just plan everything. Sometimes you just have to go with the feel of the crowd, and sometimes you just have to go with the flow, and that's instincts, and you got it, and that's definitely what separates you from all the rest, you know? And another question I have, real quick, a random question. My earliest memories of you are, you know, the bow tie getup, and then they switch to the stripes, and then the polos.
Right.
What do you prefer? What's your favorite?
I like the stripes. I hated those damn bow ties. They were the shits.
were they clip on bow ties, or were they actual bow ties?
No, mine was a clip on. I don't know how to tie a tie.
You and me both.
But all of them were really clip ons. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's easier.
But I hated them. And I was against long sleeve shirts. If you ever go back and look, you very seldom see me in a long-sleeve shirt. I hated long-sleeve shirts. It just didn't fit. Well, that whole deal didn't fit the program. It was a shit. You know, if you're a referee, football, baseball, well, baseball's a little bit different, but football and wrestling, you wore a referee shirt. That's what you are. You know what I mean?
Right. And it seems like...
Hell, you're not going to a school prom. So why wear that shit? Right?
I agree. And it took a long time for them to actually change it over, which is surprising. They had you wearing that getup for the longest time.
I despise it.
Yeah.
I mean, every time it was a pay-per-view or whatever, or even a regular house show or whatever, you had to put that shitty blue shirt on and the black tie. Come on, man. That's a joke.
Earl, let me ask you this. Other than obviously yourself, who many people consider the greatest official of all time, two-point question. Is there anyone that wrestling fans should know about that came along before you? And if you had to recommend, like, if you had to pick your favorite referee other than yourself, and I guess I'll say other than your family, who did you enjoy most? So anyway, anyone that we should know before you, and who was probably the best referee in the game besides yourself?
Tommy Young.
Yeah.
Tommy was great. He was awesome. He was, I stole a lot of his stuff. The slide, all the shit that he did, I stole a lot of it and did good with it, you know. And Tommy was great to me, honestly. He was great. I mean, back then you didn't make the money that we make today. And I'd stay at his apartment when I was working the Richmond show, the Charlotte, Greensboro, whatever. Tommy would put me up in his condominium, and where I didn't have to get a hotel. I mean, Tommy was a great help to me, big time.
That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah, it's always story. Good to have a vet that is actually willing to help someone out and, you know, teach them. And that's basically the position you're in now. And I'm sure you've definitely guided your son, and you and your brother probably learned a lot from each other. And a question real fast, does Dave still officiate?
No. Dave's got real bad health right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
so he's not. I mean, he's okay, but he's not up to par right now. You know, he was in the Vietnam War, and he's got gas in his brain. He's got Parkinson's, and he had two heart attacks, and he's just not, in good health. But he's doing good. He's okay.
Okay,
but you know.
Good. Well, all our best to Dave, another one of the best classic referees of all time. You transitioned from WWE to TNA. You're still going strong. And this coming weekend, you have a show in Parsippany, New Jersey. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I'm really excited about this show because that's the first show after being inducted to the Hall of Fame.
There you go.
So I feel great about that, and I guess the schedule worked out good because these guys are getting the first Hall of Famer on their indie show.
That's true. That's true.
That's good for them, and it's good for me because I'm proud that I got the opportunity to come there.
Right.
Yeah, and for you guys out there, you want to see TNA Hall of Famer Earl Hebner this weekend, Saturday night, November 14th, Parsippany High School, 309 Baldwin Road in Parsippany. Earl is going to special guest referee, the UPWA Championship match between my buddy Bobby Lashley Mike Orlando. So get out there, check him out. Jim Neidhart's going to be there. The Boogeyman's going to be there. Just finalized half an hour ago, Chris Masters is going to be there.
Nice.
Along with our friends. Black Hollywood, they'll be there from PWS. They're the UPWA Tag Team Champions. And obviously Earl's going to be there. So get out there and meet up with TNA Hall of Famer Earl Hebner. Earl, what would it mean to you if the WWE came calling and asked you to go into their Hall of Fame?
I'd go.
Well deserved, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen, but you know, I have to be truthful with one thing. Vince McMahon and I, we had a little bit of problems or whatever it was, but Vince treated me like a king. I sat in his office and he said, "I'm giving you the ball, you roll with it." Wow. And that's exactly how he treated me. He treated me great. He treated my brother great, too. So, really, truly, different things happened down the road, but, that's water over the dam. But Vince gave me the best opportunity to be the person I am. The other people that work with me helped me, but Vince is the one to put the ball in my hand and said, "You roll with it."
Right. Without that opportunity.
I really owe him that compliment and that appreciation.
Absolutely. And you know what? In pro wrestling, never say never. You never know.
Never say never.
Never say never.
Never say never and say and nothing lasts forever.
That's it. That's it. And speaking of nothing lasts forever, it seems like you've been refereeing forever. How many years does the great Hall of Famer Earl Hebner have left refereeing? Do you have an end game in sight, or are you just going to kind of roll with it?
When I can't walk to the ring.
There it is.
That's a great answer.
Very
that's
nice.
A perfect answer.
Very nice.
Wow, that's a closer.
When I can't walk
that's
to the ring, then I'm going home.
Wow.
Because I love this business. This business has been a great life for me. I've met a lot of people in my life that a lot of people would have never met. And it's been awesome for me. And God has blessed me through this. And even though I'm beat up and worn out, I can still move.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
I'll be there till I can't walk to the ring.
So 100 more years of Earl Hebner.
Yes.
I could deal with that. That's
I could
awesome.
Deal with that too. Absolutely. Earl, thank you so much for joining us.
Wait,
what?
Wait,
Earl's got something.
Oh, Earl, you got something.
No. How many years?
100 more for you.
No, I'm still pushing, man. If I can go another 5 years, that'll be great.
I'll take it.
I'll take 5 years, and maybe 10.
I mean, hell, I'll be 67 in May.
Wow,
God
bless. And I feel good. But I'm not as fast as I used to be. I mean, I watch Brian, and Brian is the spitting image of me. Believe me, God bless him. For him to be the guy he is. I didn't never give him a break in this business. I rode him to death, and sometimes I was a little bit harder on him than I should have been. But nevertheless, I feel when I look back now, it was the right thing to do. I'll just say you got a lot of referees in there in this business, but I don't think any of them can touch Brian. Not just because he's my son, but because he's good.
No, it would be
on the money.
It would definitely be tough to disagree with that. And real quick, I know we got to let you go, but.
No, I can hang on. Go ahead.
Awesome.
Unless you gotta go.
No, we're good to go. No, we're fine.
Yeah, Kevin has places to go, but the rest of us are gonna stay.
Be careful. Be careful what you ask for, though, Earl. Because we'll talk to you for forever. But anyway, you mentioned once you can't walk to the ring, you'll head home. Is there any? Do you have any plans of maybe other than refereeing? Would you like to stick around? Would you like to maybe help out some of the young guys in TNA? Is there any position that you prefer to be in after your refereeing days are done?
Well, I mentioned to Dixie, sooner or later I'm going to be, not refereeing. And she's got some plans for me down the road. I'm going to, when I decide not to referee anymore, I'm going to TVs and help them out. And then I'm going to maybe do some, going to Walmart or Kmart or whatever, autograph sessions just a couple of days before the show. So that'll work for me.
Yeah, just as long as, you're still in the business and sticking around.
Now, Earl, I have a question. And you said before you're not as fast as you used to be. I've been throwing down a challenge to Bobby Lashley for months, okay? I think I can avoid him for 90 seconds in the ring. You've worked with the man. Is he that fast? Do I not have a chance?
Brother, that's a machine. Don't hurt yourself.
Well, he can tackle me and submit me, but he can't punch me in the face.
Well, this event on Saturday in Parsippany is actually very close to the Shining Wizards headquarters number 2. So there's a good chance that this could get thrown down here tonight to Mr. Lashley. Mr. Hebner, do you have any way of possibly maybe throwing a little pull?
I'm scared wrestling this match. What the hell's wrong with you?
Where to begin? You know what, Earl? I'm right across the street from the gym that you'll be at Saturday. If you want a nice hot shower and a sandwich after the matches, by all means, you're more than welcome to walk across the street to my apartment.
Walk. You're not going to give him a lift.
No, literally across the street.
Bro, the only place, the only gym I go to is Jim's Bar and Grill.
There you go.
Kind of transform the apartment into a bar and grill. There's a Buffalo Wild Wings around the corner.
Now you're talking my program.
There we go. All right, we're going to meet up for some brews. I'm buying.
Brother, you're right on the money. I can't wait to get there. I might come early.
That's what I'm talking about.
Pre-game with Earl, get some wings and beer.
That's awesome.
We good to go.
We'll do it. We're right there.
We good to go. You know, speaking of, going out and having drinks, I'm sure you've traveled with a lot of guys. What was your traveling crew back in, the 80s, 90s, WWF?
Well, let me tell you what. When Flair first came to WWF, Vince McMahon said, Earl, I want you to take care of Rick. You and Rick are good buddies. I said, yeah, we are. He said, you got to keep him out of trouble.
Oh.
I traveled with him about 1 month, and I finally went up to Vince. I said, Vince, I can't handle this. He said, what do you mean? I said, I can't handle this. I said, by the end of the summer, I won't have a liver.
Oh my God. Wow, was he the heaviest partier?
He's already cost me two marriages. I mean, what the hell? The only left now is to take my liver and take my life.
Jesus.
But you know what? I love Ric Flair to death. Let me tell you what. He is one great guy. I have a lot of great guys in my life that I love. But the top two is Dusty Rhodes, number one, and Ric Flair, number two.
Yeah, Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty gave me the break of my life, and Flair gave me the training to be what I am. I've done more shit in the ring with him. I've had more matches with him probably than he's had with some of the guys.
Wow, that's true. That's
but
very
it's great.
True.
I mean, Rick, I just love that guy to death, believe me. And Dusty, God bless his soul. Hadn't been for him, I would have never had this opportunity. He's one gave me the opportunity to do this and be this. So, and believe me, I love The Undertaker. I love Triple H. I love Austin. I love Rock. I mean, there's so many guys that I really love. But I have to really say, Dusty gave me the break of my life, and Rick trained me to be a crazy man.
Yeah.
So that's all I can say.
I hear you. I hear you on that. Rick, the best partier.
Divorces.
What's that?
And two divorces.
Oh, jeez.
had a show in Richmond. Let me tell you this story. We had a show in Richmond. It was Rick's birthday, okay? I probably live 10 miles from the arena, okay? He had his birthday party at the Holiday Inn on the Boulevard, and I think I got home 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's a good night.
And my wife then was standing at the front door.
Uh-oh.
And I said, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. I said, it's Rick's fault. So anyway,
oh.
But let me tell you what, don't ever go to Japan with Ric Flair, because that'll cost you your life or maybe a divorce.
Oh, Jesus.
But I mean, I could go on and on and on with Rick, believe me. I mean, he's such a great guy. He's my hero. And a lot of other guys. I'm not just Rick, but everybody. But me being a Hall of Famer, I didn't do this alone. These guys did it for me. They got me where I am, and they helped me. So it's not just me. It's them helping me to be the guy that I am.
Right.
Now, Earl, when you started way back in the day, did you ever think that your career would come? I mean, you are probably one of the most popular referees in wrestling, and I feel like it's something they go away from today. I couldn't tell you the name of any referee on TV right now outside of you and your son.
I know Charles Robinson, just because
his name
has been out there forever.
Did you think you would reach this level of fame just by being a referee?
Not really. Not really. Let me ask you this. The way you just said put me over or whatever it was, okay? How many people can name a football referee or Major League Baseball referee? Right off the bat, boom. It was spectacular.
Is Ed Hockley still playing?
He is.
There's one, and that's it.
Okay, so when you bring up referees, whose name pops up? Not bragging.
No, you're it. It's Earl Hebner. It's Dave. It's Tommy Young. It's
Bill
Timmy
Alfonso.
White. Bill
Tim
Alfonso.
Nick Patrick a little bit.
Nick Patrick, absolutely.
Right. And hey, Nick was a great friend of mine, too.
There you go.
I love Nick Patrick to death.
Yeah, he had a totally different style of reffing than you two.
The bullshit
you guys,
that we did
when
WCW merged with WWF. But I've always, you know, I knew Nick's father, so Tony Hamilton. So that's how far back I go, you know.
Right. That's the assassin.
I mean, hell, I used to go to the matches on the horse and buggy, so that tells you how long I've been around.
Yeah, my earliest memories of wrestling are you or your brother. I didn't know at the time who was who, but you guys. And Jim Crockett Promotions, NWA, you refereed,
right.
What was that? Was it the Tully Blanchard Magnum TA match in the cage?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I think J.J. Dillon threw the towel in.
Yes.
If I can remember right.
Yeah, wow.
And that was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, my
cage.
God. Incredible. Incredible. The moments that you must have had. And to just even just be around these guys. Like, I could ask a million questions about what it was like to just be around Andre the Giant and to just, you know, spend time with him and go out? And was he were the legends true of the amount of alcohol that that man could consume?
Brother, he could drink, God knows, he could drink a case of wine and three cases of beer and still go to the ring. And I used to sit in the dressing room and play cribbage with him. And he was awesome. And I go, Andre, I just can't get another hand. And he'd clap his hands together and say, there you go, brother. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He said, there you go, boss.
Boss, yeah. Boss.
Call everybody boss, everybody. Oh,
man, larger than life.
Yeah. But if you look back at my beginning, I mean, I refereed Johnny Weaver, Ernie Ladd, all those guys. They were awesome.
You've been through every era.
I've been around so many great guys and sitting around the world, and God has blessed me to have that opportunity.
Yeah, and despite the injuries, maintain your health and to still be able to go. Right. And you think about wrestlers with longevity. But then you also think, well, you know, Earl Hebner has refereed more main events than a lot of these wrestlers have ever had in their career. And, you know, the third man in the ring, the referee, is just as important to the storytelling as the wrestlers themselves. You put a bad ref in there with two good wrestlers, that could ruin the whole feel of the thing. So, you talk about how much you love Austin and Hogan and the list goes on and on. But on the same note, you are responsible for making these guys look amazing, for adding to the drama, to adding to the atmosphere. So, you know, it's time to put you over a little bit, Mr. Hall of Famer.
Well, let me tell you this. One time we was in a production meeting, Aegis meeting, okay? And Jay Strongbow came up in the meeting and said, bless his heart, too. I love him to death. He said, Vince, what does Earl do? And if you look back at all WrestleManias, I guarantee you I've done more main events than anybody there.
Yeah.
And they asked the question, why is Earl always in the main events? Because Vince said, because Earl knows what's going on and he knows what to do. He says it's just like football. They use the best refs in Super Bowls, and that's what we do here. And that was the end of that.
Wow. And that's it. So, well, it's well deserved. That's for sure.
But I'm not putting myself on. I'm just telling you, like it is.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's the truth, and that is the truth. You know, and I look back to my favorite moment of your career. It was an early memory of mine was WrestleMania 6. We talked about it before. That slide into that three count when Warrior pinned Hogan. Oh my God, what a moment! And speaking of kayfabe, how many people actually knew that Warrior was going to beat Hogan besides you, Vince, Hogan, and Warrior?
I don't know, really. I don't think many people at all knew that right off the bat.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Definitely. It must be cool to be privy
to all
that information.
I think there was, 83,000 people there, something like that, or 73,000, one or
the
other.
Yeah, it was up there, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I can't really, it's either 73 or 83, one or the other. If you look back, probably you can find it, but it's close.
Yeah, it was a huge crowd. How were the nerves that night? Do you go out there, you still get the butterflies, or it's just all business?
I did that one.
Yeah, butterflies for that one.
I had butterflies on the Hawk and Andre, Matt. I mean, yeah. But, you know, now I still go out with butterflies.
Yeah.
You know, because it's something that is once in a year and, you know, it's jam-packed and the crowd's riled up, fired up, and you're thinking, oh, man. And you look around, you see all those people, and you go, oh, my God, you know. But yeah. I don't really get psyched out. I know what I got to do. I know what's got to be done. And once the bell rings, my mind is nothing but in that ring. The noise, the howling, the screaming, it doesn't affect me at all. Because I'm there to do a job, and I know what my job is, and I do it. And when it comes out successful, everybody gives you a big high five when you come back through that curtain. It makes you feel good. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Makes you feel, oh my God, I finally got this over with. You know what I mean? But that's pressure. Believe me, when you walk into a WrestleMania, you know, any live show, it's pressure. Because when a guy tells you got 30 seconds and we're going dog, I've said so many bad things to those guys at things that they do at the last moment, and I'm going, what the hell is this? You know, we got 30 seconds and we're going dog. God damn it, go home.
Right.
And I mean, I tell them that. Brian tells them that. But see, the guys respect me, and they respect Brian. I don't know about the other referees or how they act or how they control it, but I don't take no crap. But right. When I know it's time to go, it's time to go, and all I can do is tell them.
Yeah.
And I'll tell them we got 30. I mean, I went off with 30 seconds left on time. In a WrestleMania, in a pay-per-view, it's been a number of times, you know?
Yeah.
But if you stop and look back, it's either Brian or I in the main event when it's a live show, because they have trust in us to know we know how to coordinate it to get it done.
Right, right. And the thing is, one of the most, you know, this, I think there's two extremely important things when it comes to refereeing. Two of the most important things is getting that finish right and getting that match to go home at the right time, especially in the TV era now. Like, that's like two key things right there. And if you get that timing down right, then you are good to go. And it's good. That's cool to know that you can control that ring and that you have the respect of the guys that you can say, like, come on, it's time to go. Let's finish this shit up. Let's do it. You know?
Right. Well, think of the money that you're going to get back if you're on a WrestleMania to go start.
Right.
People want their money back. They didn't still finish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They didn't say winner or loser or however you want to put it.
Right.
You know, so it's pressure on the referee. Believe me, I've probably went nuts at them before.
Ugh.
And thank God they didn't hear what I was saying to people, because I'd have probably been fined $10 million.
speaking of main events, how much did your brother make for the plastic surgery that Andre and Ted DiBiase paid for?
We did okay on it. Believe me,
that's awesome. That was one of the greatest moments. I mean, the nerves had to be up for that too. I mean, 16 million people tuning in to primetime on a major network—that's huge. And that match still sticks with all
so
of us.
When I kicked my brother, I kicked him so hard, I stiffed him so bad that I knocked myself down.
Yes, I remember that.
I kicked him so damn hard that I thought I hit a ton of cement, and down I went.
And you took the trip down the aisle then, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
Oh, what was that like?
It was I was going when Hogan picked me up and started running, I'd go, this ain't the program here. We didn't run through this shit like this. And I knew, hey, when you go over top of Andre, Virgil, and DiBiase, brother, that's a field goal.
Yeah, man, I remember that throw so vividly, even to this day, where you just cleared everybody. Like, Hogan just had nothing but bad intentions on that throw.
Right, because when we went through this stuff at the warehouse where we set the ring up and we practiced for a while, that wasn't the call. The call was, I'm going to walk you here and toss you right to their arms. Hell, he slingshot me.
Well, he was upset. He just lost the world championship.
Well, I was upset too when he started running. This ain't the deal.
I'm sorry. I know it must have been just an awful experience, but we could laugh about it now, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, Earl, we're going to let you go real quick. I just want to fast forward a lot of years to the current time, right? Obviously, right now, with TNA. Give us your thoughts on TNA and how they're doing. And how much you're enjoying the time there. Obviously, you've talked with Dixie, you said, about the future with TNA past your referee days. Just give everyone, like, I guess, like your state of the union address for Impact Wrestling right now.
Well, they're doing okay. I don't know what rumors come out. It's a lot of it's a bunch of bullshit, okay? But they're doing fine. They're going to be great. There's a lot of changes been happening over the last year or 2 years at most. And they're on a roll. As time goes on, everybody will see that they're fine.
Right.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that company. That company's not going nowhere, believe me.
And that's amazing news, because while everyone isn't completely up to date with what TNA's been doing, we obviously want them to stick around because they have some great talent there. It's an option. Well, here, how about this? What's your take on the six-sided ring?
I love it.
There you go.
I love it.
All right, yeah. You know what? I completely forgot about that till the very end of this interview.
Yeah, Earl. Those are two questions we always like to get opinions from the TNA guys on, because you know you hear so much in the
never heard a ref's opinion of it though.
No, but you hear so much, like, number one, about, like, you know, how TNA's doing, whether they're financially stable, whether they have a home, and the other thing is, like, you know, the six-sided ring is either people really love it or people can't stand it. You know.
Well, here's the thing. The six-sided ring is a trademark. Right. Okay. If you look, how many people have six-sided rings? Nobody.
Yeah.
Right? It's different.
Yeah.
And some people come just to see the ring, just to see the six-sided ring. And it's great. And while we ever went to the regular ring, I ain't getting into all that. But but the thing is that we have a different approach and a different look. And that's what makes TNA different.
Absolutely.
And it's great. And the guys love the six-sided ring. There's not one guy there that I know of that doesn't like, unless they're brand new, coming in like I did, and have to learn how to work and where to go.
Yeah, that must have been great. That must have been tough trying to find your spot to like be there but kind of stay out of the way. Because now there's six different ways.
When I first went up there, I found me a turnbuckle, and that's where I stayed until I could learn what the hell was going on.
Awesome.
Nice.
That's amazing.
You would have thought you were in New York going down Times Square. but I learned it. I mean, there's different things that you have to learn. That, I mean, hell, after being with Crockett and Vince for roughly 30 years, and you've been in a square circle, then you go to an octagon, and it's like anything else. The more you work, the better you get.
Absolutely. Earl, it has been a pleasure. We're going to ask you to hold on the line as we wrap this up. This Saturday night, November 14th at Parsippany High School, UPWA, Earl Hebner will be the special guest referee for the Carolinas championship match between Mike Orlando and Bobby Lashley. Also appearing, Jim Neidhart, The Boogeyman, Robbie E., recently announced Chris Masters, The UPWA.com. Go there for all the information, or you can call 973-796-0141 for tickets this Saturday night. Earl, do you have a Twitter or anything you'd like to plug before we wrap up this interview?
No, I'm good. But all right. I'm just saying I'm proud to be there. I'm happy that I'm there, and it's a thrill for me. It's my first Hall of Famer indie show.
Nice. Excellent. Earl, please hang on the line as we wrap this up.
Okay. Yeah, folks, don't go anywhere. We'll be back after a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting all of you, when you're done with this podcast, head back on over to the Shining Wizards Network. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, where myself and Dave Mega Powers are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, covering everything from the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks on the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. 2.5 Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network.
You probably have 80 podcasts in your queue that you'll never catch up on. But I bet none of them cover the worlds of professional wrestling and heavy metal music.
That's where Neckbreaker fills the gap. We drink a truckload of beers, interview the best metal bands, and cover the latest pro wrestling headlines, all in one drunken mess of a podcast.
Find our episodes on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, and Neckbreaker.net. Be sure to follow our drunk and irrelevant updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast.
Wow, Earl's awesome.
Earl rules the roost.
Earl the Pearl.
We thought, we're going to get 15 minutes with Earl. Cool, but man, the man wanted to talk, and we obliged.
Oh, we're whores for talking. We
absolutely
love talking.
We could talk to him all night.
That's what be careful what you wish for, Earl. We can go a little bit. Yeah, you sure about that?
Yep, we're going to go.
Because you got four marks here that have been watching wrestling.
You want Scotty Riggs' number?
Earl's awesome. Man.
And just one more time, I want to plug it, theupwa.com. Go there for all the information this Saturday night, Parsippany High School. Earl's there. Bobby Lashley is there. We were just informed Billy Kidman's going to be there. Yes. Jim Neidhart, the Boogeyman. Robbie E. will watch your tapes for like $10. He'll tell you how good you are and how bad you are. Chris Masters
he'll
is going
to
be there.
He'll teach you how to reverse a Irish whip on your knee.
Black Hollywood's there. PWS's very own Bobby Wayward is going to be there.
Wayward.
So definitely check that out. $15 at the door. Bell time 7:30. Pre-show's at 6 o'clock.
Well, it's the pre-show.
Support your independent wrestling. These guys typically run out of the Carolinas.
Yeah.
So for them to be in New Jersey is
a treat.
I wonder
what brought them up here.
Parsippany. They're across the street from Matt's house.
Bobby Lashley's looking for me.
And that Lashley's like, yo, man. Yo, I want to go to Parsippany.
You think I'm intimidated by that that Bellator fight he had the other night?
I was about to say, yeah, he just won. He just won the first round, didn't he?
Bitch, please, I ain't scared of you.
Oh, come on now. Bobby Lashley's good folk.
Kayfabe that shit, bro.
You called him folk.
Sorry, is that bad?
He's good folk.
Oh, it's not good.
Well, it's different. I try to be different. What am I going to do?
You're a good man, Bobby Lashley. Imagine there was like the Charlie Brown special. You're a good man, Bobby Lashley.
You're a good folk, Bobby Lashley.
You're a good folk, Bobby Lashley.
Speaking of Charlie Brown, I don't know if you took your nephew. Peanuts movie is awesome.
I'm taking him this weekend.
It's so awesome, Sunday. Dude. You're going to love it. Yeah. It's very well done. It's true to the original, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
I'll take all my non-existent nieces and nephews.
Awesome. Do that.
I will.
Kevin's bringing
So basically, I'm just going by myself. Pop to the Peanuts
with
movie.
The hole in it.
There you go. Oh, God. I would love to have Earl back on, because I'm sure there's so many more stories.
He just started to open up towards I mean, we milked it out of him, for sure.
Yeah, we did.
Did a wet dog follow you in? It smells like wet dog all of a sudden.
Wet that's dog.
You. Yeah, that's you. Weird. Maybe
well,
it
I know.
Is.
I know we're short on time, and I know this was thrown together last minute, but I need to. I want to ask.
Yeah.
David Starr had a match this weekend.
Didn't see it. Who was it against?
David
Christ.
Christ.
Probably. It was against Jesus.
An hour and 43-minute match.
Jesus Christ! Why?
Was it 143 or was it 103?
It was 103 is an hour and 43 minutes.
All right, look at that.
Kevin Mathman.
Oh, I thought you said 143.
No, an hour and 43 minutes.
Oh, okay.
I thought you said 100.
I may have started to say 100, but
I think he said 143.
I fixed myself.
Whatever, at that point.
Because that's...
It doesn't matter.
He said the crowd was into it the whole time.
I saw a couple reports that said the crowd was into it. Apparently the first hour was like a technical battle, and then... Rockstar, I believe, was the promotion, said it had to go for a winner or till a winner, and they like
did Gorilla Monsoon come out and tell him to ring the bell?
Yeah, the ghost of Gorilla Monsoon.
Ring the bell, Bobby.
Is that your Gorilla Monsoon ghost?
Yes,
because Bobby Heenan was the...
Will you stop?
I thought you were doing Hank Hill for a second.
How did we get a Gorilla Monsoon ghost before we got a Jack Tunney ghost?
Because the Jack Tunney... Jack Tunney.
Jack Tunney toast.
Jack Tunney toast.
That's what I serve at the Pat's Cabin.
Jack Tunney toast. I'd like some Jack Tunney toast, please.
Oh, but, I look forward to finding it and checking it
out. I'd watch it too.
Did you guys see the Dead Wrestler Beach thing, by the way?
Yes.
Is that not the? Have you seen that yet?
I think I saw it. I didn't see it, but I've saw of it.
It's pretty fucking funny, despite how terrible it is. But
Can I? People are gonna listen to this, and we do have some jerk off fans. And as much as we appreciate you being fans,
here we go.
It was talked about beforehand. Montreal was nothing to bring up. If you've ever seen Earl Hebner shoot an interview, it's always about fucking Montreal. There's more to the man than that.
Yeah.
And as we learned tonight, as you learned from listening.
We didn't want to bring it up.
Showed that to you, and you don't want to talk about the fucking same nonsense.
I'm glad I brought up the main event where he got vaulted over Andre.
We talked about that before you came
down. So for the second time.
did I do that?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Wait, you guys told me you weren't going to ask about that.
I feverishly cut and edited you smashing him last week.
Yeah, this is before you came down. Play it. We played it for him, and then he had some words for you.
Let me pull it up.
No way.
Yeah, hold on.
This is what I played
for Earl.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait.
Absolutely.
Should we do this now? Or should I listen back?
No.
We'll do it now.
I want your reaction now.
This is what we played for Earl.
Because this is what I played for Earl. Because this was last week when we talked about turning point.
Turning point.
Any day now.
Was that last week?
Yes, that was last week.
No wonder Matt was all
excited. 1-2, and then he kind of stumbles. Like, he always throws the three. That irks me so much. That telegraphs that this is not the end of the match.
Yeah, he got real mad.
Did he really?
He got heated.
He was not happy.
Wait, did he know that I was here?
Thank God there's four of us, and he doesn't know which one of us they
are. I said that guy is no longer here with us.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to be here anymore. We fired him.
So you not only ribbed me, you ribbed 89-year-old Earl Hebner.
He's not 89.
Well,
come
however
on.
Old he is.
67, he said.
Yeah, there you go.
Nah, we're ribbing you now, actually. We didn't play it.
You didn't play it?
And then Drew Gulak came out.
No, you should have. No, I'm disappointed you didn't play it now.
No.
We shouldn't have said anything.
We were thinking
he would have listened to the whole episode and been like.
Did you really ask him about the Andre vaulting?
Yeah.
He brought it up
himself.
See, that's why I went to it, because he kept bringing it up. I thought maybe you guys didn't ask it because you thought that I was asking him a dumb question with the plastic surgery.
No, I think you're...
Well, we assumed the question was going to be dumb.
And you guys just yesed me along. You guys were like, yeah, good, good.
Good.
Fuck you all. Do we have ending music? Because I'm
ending plugs. We have plugs. November 20th, Starland Ballroom, Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
Music?
Yeah.
God. Let's see what we got tonight.
Oh, no.
No. It's all right. You can keep going.
What do you got?
Here we go. There we go.
Is this new?
Wow, I'm going to try and go from memory for most of this. November 20th, Pro Wrestling Syndicate returns to Starland Ballroom.
Like commercial, Eddie.
I know what my guys are doing. What the other guys are doing, you're going to have to go to ProWrestlingSyndicate.com to find out. We have Kevin Matthews taking on Devin Moore one-on-one in a First Blood match. Chris Payne. He's going to cross the line and put his TV title on the line against my man, Fala Ba.
Oh.
The Heavenly Bodies will be in attendance. Do they have a match? I don't know.
Nope.
Are they going to come out and help me make Kevin Matthews bleed with Devin Moore?
Nope.
I hope so. I hope to God. There should be a world title match in there somewhere. Someone please pull it up because I have all these matches mixed in my head.
I thought it was Triple Threat, Habib and Matt and...
It is.
And Dan Mock. Yes. Ooh, that's going to be a good
one. And of course you have the last match, the retirement match
of
our friend Justin Credible going one-on-one with his arch nemesis Tommy Dreamer.
We've
got a four-way match between Brian Myers, Colt Cabana.
Boom.
Buff Bagwell.
Hell yeah.
And the fourth person is escaping me in that match, but... We did not pull it up, like, because we're jerks and shit.
He's got great two-part interview with Austin, by the way. Bagwell.
Yeah, does he lie to him, too?
Yeah,
like
of course he does. He tells the Judy Bagwell calling Jim
else,
Ross story. Did my mama call? I don't know.
Who is it?
Oh,
that's
my God.
What I was waiting for.
Can
okay.
someone pull up the website so we can...
All of our laptops were closed.
Wait,
we thought we were done.
Wait, the show's not till the 24th, right?
The 20th.
20th, next Friday.
Oh,
a week
so?
From Friday. So I'll just do some of my plugs this Friday.
Kevin Garifo.
In Clark, New Jersey.
Clark.
Bonesaw is the other guy.
Bonesaw, yeah. How could we forget? Bonesaw's ready.
Bonesaw's very forgettable.
So I'll be doing comedy in the Knights of Columbus in Clark, New Jersey. It's going to be a big show.
Well.
Then Sunday I'll be back at Sunday Comics Tyrannies in Montclair, New Jersey. Possibly something big in December 5th. Looking at possibly some Atlantic City action, so we'll see.
Ooh, nice.
Very good. Okay, I got some matches.
PWS
breaking
time.
News, breaking news. Really good shit coming up. Saddle Six-Way. Starman, what the fuck was that, Tony? That wasn't even funny.
Yes, it was.
No, actually, no. It just sounded like a glitch. Dumbass. Starman defends against Drunken Swashbuckler, Johnny Hal, Anthony Bowens, Lifeguard, and Bobby Wayward. We have a tag team gauntlet match with the Reynolds Brothers, My Heavenly Bodies, the Merry Men in Tights, the Aesthetic Enterprise, New Jack's Ninjas with New Jack, and Balls Mahoney and CPA, and the big deal, Craig Steele versus Scott Steiner.
No Jose and Hose B?
I don't think so. Shinron versus Amazing Red.
Oh, Shinron's back.
Sonjay Dutt versus Mario Bacara.
He just worked hardy.
And the main event, Sandyman versus Nikos Rikos. Also, Diamond Dallas
wait,
Page.
Wait. Main event?
The main event of the evening, Tony.
Yes.
Get used to it.
And Diamond Dallas Page and Raven will also be in the house.
Buy Nikos Rikos full tights, please.
I like his halfies.
It irks me more than Earl Hebner's three-count phony.
I'm looking forward to Craig Steele and Scott Steiner.
What else we got?
Wait, we have Scott Steiner and Buff Bagwell on the same show.
Yeah.
They should be in the tag team gauntlet together.
Hey, you never know. There's still plenty of time left.
Shit.
Maybe they'll throw a hammer down.
Damn.
Smash-Wrestling.com. Check them out. They have an on-demand website very similar to the WWE Network. House of Glory Wrestling.
I can't hear you.
HOG Wrestling on the Twitter machine. Follow them.
Amazing. They're teasing a big announcement on December 11th at their next show at in Jamaica, Queens, which features PJ Wolf versus John Morrison and Steel Cage, Amazing Red versus XL. teasing a big announcement, so we'll wait and see what that is. So,
and of course, this Saturday night, UPW, they're going to be rocking it at Parsippany High School. Robbie E., the Boogeyman, Jim Neidhart and his shaved six-pack, Bobby Lashley, that bitch, and our guest tonight, Earl Hebner. That's right, Bobby, I'm coming for you. As soon as I'm done with work, go home. I'm going to take a shower and put some Old Spice on. I'm going to walk right to the parking lot.
Do it.
I'm going to be like, yuck. Where's Bobby at? Where's Bobby at? Let's go. Like,
hey, where's Bobby?
Hey, I hear no bell.
He really would fucking squish my head like
you
a
you knock grape. Matt down. Why don't you try knocking me down?
So terrible. The UPWA.com is the website. Head over there. Get all your information for the UPWA this Saturday night at Parsippany High School.
What time do you think you're going to get there?
The 14th. I probably will get out of work at like 8:30.
Are we 14th. Drinking with Earl after?
I 100% just told his agent. I'm not even kidding.
Okay.
I want to drink with Earl Hebner afterwards.
Okay.
Don't care if I have work in the morning.
Perfect.
Kayfabe, the locale.
Oh, you mean Applebee's?
No, the Buffalo. Oh,
no, everyone will be at the fucking, that other show that we're not going to mention. good old Fat Tits McGee is going. He already put it on his stupid Facebook.
Hey, guys.
With his fucking... Jeez.
Can't go a week without mentioning that
fucking
guy.
Fucking AIDS, and he loses all that weight.
You have to have sex to get AIDS
what?
To do drugs, and I don't do either.
That's right. He doesn't do either, so it's a win. Oh, we have a bunch of new shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. November 24th, 4-year anniversary.
Woo! Woo!
Don't
wow.
you miss that one.
When's that show? November 24th?
2 weeks.
The 24th.
Jesus.
A lot of good things lined up. A lot of things in the making. And then next Tuesday night, we will do a show, Studio A or B. We'll figure it out. I don't know.
We have anyone coming on that show?
As of
yeah, me.
As of right now, no.
Cool. Sometimes it's better.
Yeah. We gotta, you know, lay low before the fucking
debauchery
of the 4-year anniversary.
Oh, we gotta get like Uber on retainer for that show.
I might have to take off work the next day.
Yeah, well, I'm just a little teaser. If you guys want to listen live, there will be a Shining Wizards drinking game for our people at home.
Dude, awesome. We're too old for that shit.
No,
we don't have
for the
to
people
play
at
the
home.
Game. Oh, we're not playing the game?
I mean, you can, but...
Ooh, this is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I'm off the next day. I took off. I'm good. I'm good.
I am not.
So... The game is going to revolve around Tony being podcast cancer, so...
Yeah.
No, this is actually
well, then everyone's going to die of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, should be.
Cool. So
we got a new soundboard to play with. Hopefully,
yeah, we got lots of things.
You mean that I'm going to play with because somebody's ready to throw this one out into the middle of ball.
You know what?
As well.
I didn't get as mad as I did.
Give it to me if you're
going to
throw it away.
No, I just fucking, I paid a pretty penny for that, and I got a 2-year warranty on it.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
Going to need it.
Nah, that should be fine.
You know what struck me as kind of funny? Is Earl getting hit with that sledgehammer? Like, that shit was, like, real.
Still real to me, damn it.
Jesus. Crazy. Wow. Well, Earl was awesome. Good show tonight. Fun times.
After
we'll
the traffic rerouting debacle of 2015 is over.
Totally worth it.
We all made it, yes.
We're all alive.
We'll be happy, because now I have to edit all this shit together.
That's not that bad.
Yay me.
Ouch.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
See ya, bitches. Get your Starbucks, faggots.
I want to talk about Christmas.
Christmas sweaters.
You definitely quit your job to go to malls, didn't you?
I quit my job to go to malls. Celebrate Christmas, deck the halls. I walk down the aisle and whip out my balls. And all the girls say, ooh, that's nice.
Bye.
Ah.
Time to play the game. It's all about the game.